game.
Oh, they ready for it.
We ready. All the way across the board, we ready.
Football weather, baby. Ready to go. Ready to go.
This is the first snow joint.
Yeah.
My first snow game ever. Last home game of the year. We gotta lead it. We gotta lead the fans with a good taste in their mouth, man. Got to.
You know, out here playing in the snow, like a little kid, we're gonna be playing in the snow, enjoying ourselves. Last home game. Make it worthwhile, you know. Appreciate all the fans coming out and support every week. Put the show on for y'all today.
I'm dominant. How you going to be today? Do you have on three? One, two, three.
Be live.
Let's fight on three. One, two, three.
Fight.
For the third consecutive week, the Browns had a fourth quarter lead and an opportunity to close out a football game. They were not able to do that today as they got beat by the Chicago Bears, the final at 38-31. Hi, everybody. Good to see all of you. Michael Regeye, Gerard Cherry. Welcome to Browns Overtime here live at Brownstown. Following this loss to the Chicago Bears, Vic Carucci will join us momentarily. And Gerard, for the third consecutive football game, the Browns did have the lead going into the fourth quarter, but they found themselves in a position, had a chance to close, couldn't close again. Finishing football games has probably become the top shelf problem, has it not, for this football team?
It certainly has, Michael. And at some point, you start asking yourself, is it an issue of conditioning, or is it simply youth and inexperience, and this team does not recognize or know how to close out football games? But at some point, you cannot blow these opportunities. You've had 3 weeks in a row where you said to yourselves as a team, we're leading, we can hold on to this, and you have not done that. So at some point, someone's going to have to figure out the answers, because you cannot continue to have this slide.
Yeah, defensively, it was an interesting football game, too, because the two defensive touchdowns, the pick six from Tashaun Gibson, T.J. Ward after the strip by Billy Winn. So the defense put 14 on the board today, and yet Jason Campbell in the offense really never got into a good rhythm and struggled.
Yeah, and the defense obviously had its bright spots, and the offense, you can't really say the same. And Jason Campbell kind of had a helter-skelter performance, nowhere near what we saw last week against the Patriots. At the same time, when it mattered most, like you just said, Michael, in the fourth quarter, the collapse on the defensive side. Two quick scores right there puts the game away. You don't have an opportunity to win the game, obviously.
Now, Gerard, with all that having been said, though, we continue to go back to why is it Gerard, as a three-time Super Bowl champion, a defensive secondary player in his 9 years in the league, why is it that the Browns defensively seem to be able to get stops, get off the football field, make plays, difference-making plays, for three quarters? But in the fourth quarter, long ball control, sustained drives by the opposition, whether it's been Jacksonville, New England, today Chicago, that beats this football team. Are you able to disseminate and put your finger on it?
It's very challenging to disseminate and put your finger on, because on one hand, as I said earlier, you question whether or not it's an issue of youth, or is it an issue of conditioning? It has to be one of the two, or just mental fortitude, Michael. And I hate to say this team doesn't possess it, but when you collapse like this in the fourth quarter, it may be fair to say just the following.
All right, let's bring Browns senior editor Vic Carucci in. Vic, I want to get your thoughts with regard to this, because it's something that's starting to stand out glaringly now. This football team plays very well, enough to win for three quarters. When is finishing going to be able to kick in?
Yeah, I think, Michael, number one, when this team maybe matures a little bit, that's part of it, immaturity. I also think it's a lack of playmakers. I think the very good teams that do finish out have enough playmakers who can take over when others maybe aren't there to do the job. And that's what this football team is lacking. It's a mindset, and I think it's also part of coaching. I think with a first-year head coach in Rod Trzynski, he's got a priority now. He's got to instill that in this team. And I think it makes it very tough. You're looking for reasons for hope and growth and foundation. These kinds of finishes take a lot of that away.
Yeah, they do, because it's for the third consecutive week that the players are going to have to explain it away. Let's find out how the head coach feels as Rob Chudzinski also sees his football team with leads in the fourth quarter but not be able to finish for the third consecutive game. Here's the head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Disappointing and frustrating loss today. Disappointed that we weren't able to win the last game here at home with our fans. Appreciate their loyalty and their support all season long, and that support will pay off down the road. We went into the game, had a number of objectives that we wanted to achieve to win and to be able to win, specifically related to turnovers, which we turned the ball over. We were able to force a couple turnovers for scores, but at the end of the day, we didn't get done what we needed to get done there in terms of turnovers, and that was a key to the game.
And that was just, kind of defines our season. And that was some good things, some bad things. Like I say, you can't take anything away from them. They made some plays. For the standpoint, it was a tough game. For the passing game, trying to control the ball in the wind, it's not easy. Sometimes you throw it, and once it leaves your hand, it's just out of control.
All right, so Rob Chudzinski, obviously, as everybody that wore the colors in that Browns locker room, frustrated. But, Gerard, is this something that a football team can work out through technique and teaching and fundamental, or does it almost have to happen by osmosis with guys simply growing up?
At this stage of the season, Michael, you are what you are. Yes, you want to make advancements. It's all about trending to the upside, even when the end of the year. At the same time, when you do it week to week to week, that pretty much says and makes a statement emphatically that you are who you are, which is a team that's collapsing right now. So really it comes down to saying to yourself individually and hopefully collectively that we're not going to collapse. But you know what happens? The more and more you say it, it becomes that self-fulfilling prophecy when you do collapse.
You talk about it so much that almost at times it becomes something that you expect to happen.
Exactly, and we saw it, semblances of it last week against the Patriots, and you saw it this week. You're in the lead, you're fighting for the football game, and all of a sudden things start to fall apart when you play so well for three quarters.
All right, in those three quarters, the Browns put a pair of defensive touchdowns on the board. One of them on that pick six from Deshaun Gibson, who was flying around all day long. When we get back, you'll hear from the young man who patrols the middle, the back end of that Browns secondary, Deshaun Gibson. Browns get beat by the Chicago Bears. Browns overtime rolls on. Don't go away. The Browns dropped their fifth in a row today, and unfortunately, they've lost eight of the last nine. And once upon a time, this football team was 3-2. As we welcome you back to Browns overtime, Michael Regei, Gerard Cherry, and Gerard. The play from the secondary at the safety spots today, though, with both T.J. Ward and Deshaun Gibson stellar. They combined for 17 tackles. They broke up three passes. Gibson had the two picks, one of them a pick six. Ward returned to fumble for a TD. Those two fellas upheld their end of the bargain at the back end of the D.
They certainly did, Michael. And when you're talking about Gibson, one thing you can say is that he is making Ray Horton seem like he is very wise in his prediction and assumption that Gibson is the MVP of this defense. Because like you said, he plays stellar today.
Yeah, both of them were very, very good. Let's check in with our Vic Carucci, who stands by with the pick six touchdown maker. Two INTs on the day. Vic's with Deshaun Gibson. Men.
Deshaun, let's talk first of all about the positive. Two interceptions for you. Really a big day in the sense of the tackles you're involved in, the plays, the tip balls. Just talk about that and how you were able to make some of those plays today.
Truly just going out there and game planning. I think that this was a great preparation, and we prepared well this week, and we just was able to execute, especially early and often in the beginning of the game. I think that those tip plays contribute to all guys knowing play recognition and going out there making plays. And, of course, a couple key tips definitely aided the way. But I think that we was able to go out there and play physical today, whether that be in a tackling. We kind of had a jump on their run game. And when they wanted to throw the ball, we kind of had answers for it. And I think that that was definitely the tale of what was able to accomplish in the first three quarters.
And pretty amazing that you and T.J. Ward get pick sixes in the same game. What was the discussion between the two of you?
Well, after my pick six, T.J. told me that he needed one. And lo and behold, probably a series or two later, he got one. Though I was a little close to it, I wish I would have got it. But, man, I was happy for him. Just being back there, that's my running mate, and I have a great deal of respect for TJ. I look up to him. He's one of the best safeties in the league. So definitely great to have to be able to accomplish something like that with a guy that I look up to.
Gerard and I have been talking about it quite a bit. The will, the want to be able to make enough plays in the fourth quarter to finish out a football game. Browns did not do that today. Caught a spark from the former Michigan State Spartan, Edwin Baker, on the offensive side today. When Browns overtime gets back, Gerard and I will tell you how, why and how Edwin Baker made a strong appearance today for the Browns. Don't go away. That's next. Another tough afternoon for the Browns. They get beat 38-31 by the Chicago Bears. Good to have you back with us on Browns Overtime. Michael Redeye, Gerard Cherry. How about Edward Baker today? Got 12 touches of the football. Gave the Browns 84 total yards, Gerard. 38 in the ground, 46 through the air. He provided the kind of burst and a kind of ability out on the edge that I think North Turner would have liked to have from Deion Lewis this year.
Certainly, Michael. One of the things that impressed you about Baker's performance is that he showed conviction when he ran the football and when he caught the ball. He showed a guy that was hungry, a guy that wants to send the message that, hey, I want to be a part of this organization moving forward. Excellent effort by Baker.
No question about it. Edwin Baker provided a spark today. Let's see how the young man felt about it. He stands by with Vic Carucci. Vic.
Thank you very much, Michael. Edwin, real bright spot today, obviously on a tough day for the Browns. But let's talk about the fact that you only had a couple of days, really, to get ready for this game and played the way you did. How did you manage to pull that off?
Just by, you know, Coach North, I got drafted to San Diego, and Coach North was coach there. So, it's, you know, a similar offense. So, but I really just, you know, just every night just studying and really just putting the work in and just doing what I needed to do to be prepared for the game and have a good game.
Explosiveness, such a big part of your game. It seemed like you hit the hole very quickly and got into the open field. I mean, you wanted to make a statement today to tell this team, okay, I'm here for the last few games, but you want to be here much longer than that.
Absolutely. I don't know if you know my story very well. I've been bouncing around quite a bit. But, I told myself I'm trying to find a home, and I think I done found it. So,
what happened on that touchdown, if you can talk about that?
It's pretty much just, you know, regular inside zone play, and we just, you know, executed in practice, and it went well out here. So I just seen the hole, and I just got a nose for the end zone, so I wasn't letting nothing stop me.
All right, you're the person from this game that a lot of fans are latching onto and hoping to see much more. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you. All right.
Back to you, Michael.
Vic, good to see Edwin Baker make a contribution today. Browns players always make it a contribution when Browns Overtime gets back. We'll take a look at Browns players of the holiday season and a special gentleman who's been a Browns fan for a long, long time. Don't go away. So glad all of you are part of Browns Overtime with us. Michael Redeye, Gerard Cherry, Vic Carucci. We know that you love to get involved with your Cleveland Browns, and it's a way for you to keep with the football team as we head into the holiday season. Fans First Down finds us discussing how the Browns are going to go into the offseason with assistant GM Ray Farmer. Let's hear the thoughts from the Browns front office as you ask questions on Fans First Down.
Hello, my name is Neil Smith, and I wanted to know what positions are the Cleveland Browns looking at for the 2014 draft?
Neil, thanks for the question. Appreciate it. I think if I get to the heart of your question exactly, you're talking more about what positions are the Browns looking for in the draft. With that being stated, I think we should really focus on our team's draft philosophy. And it's been stated before that we want to make sure that we have a championship-level quarterback, that we want to be great in both lines. And I think inevitably we want to use every tool it is to prepare for the draft. And so whether it's guys we pick up off the street, whether it's guys we pick up via free agency, it's preparing every part of our team to be ready to draft the right person when the time comes. That being said, you got to focus on the availability and who's going to be available in the draft at that point in time. If you want a tip, you want to really get into what you should look for, when you watch games this bowl season, as you watch all-star games, watch in-between plays. We can all identify guys' talent, who are the good players, who are the bad players. But if you really focus on what guys do between the snap, who's he after a play? Is he a me guy? Is he a we guy? Does he involve his teammates? Is he pointing to the crowd? Who is he when he gets to the bench when they focus on him? Is he looking at information with his coaches, or is he off by himself? Those little things will tell you something, because when you get down to the talent, the thing that allows a guy to achieve his talent ceiling is his character. So that's one of the big things that we'll focus on, is who these guys really are at their core.
Gerard, as Ray Farmer just explained, in your experience, how much is character evaluation just as important as a player's skills on the football field?
Michael, it's of utmost importance because ultimately you want to fill this football team with guys that will pay the price, will sacrifice, will put team over self, and say, you know what, even when the tough gets going, I'm going to show up, whether we're 1-15 or 15-1. Those are the type of guys you're looking for, and here's your opportunity in the NFL draft to find those guys.
Gerard, you know, has done a lot of that down through the years, be selfless and put the team first. Browns fans.
Exactly. That they have.
Browns fans have done that. You're going to love this during the holiday season. We had a chance to sit down, as we're always interactive with you, with Sanford Brody, a gentleman who's been a part of this Browns football team going way back to 1946. He's seen a lot of Browns football. You'll be very interested to hear the thoughts of Sanford Brody, lifetime Cleveland Browns fan.
I go way back before the Browns. I started this with the old Cleveland Rams that you don't know about. In fact, when the Rams left Cleveland and moved to L.A., I was at that game. When they came back here, from day one, I've been coming here. Never missed a game. This is my life. I lived through Red Right 88, the drive, the fumble, and all that stuff.
Fumble the ball, and Denver has recovered. Oh, my.
The first Monday night game. I was there for that one, too. I've gone through all the ownerships, all the coaches.
Do it our way, one play at a time.
When Modell sold the team, I'll be honest with you, I had tears in my eyes. That's how much it affected me. I felt terrible about it. Like someone took part of me away. But I still feel that one day we'll get it. Because we've struggled so long. Personally, I think we deserve it. I think we're the most loyal fans of any city. Because through all the years of suffering, we still go down there, don't we? I think this new ownership, in due time, is going to bring this back. If they ever win, it'll mean everything to me. It'll probably be the best parade there ever was.
Sanford Brody, obviously, a guy who's ridden out all the ups and downs, and that's something, too, that we know that you get very connected with your Cleveland Browns with. Joe Hayden has always been connected with that, about the pay forward to all of you. Let's get some thoughts from Joe and follow him around during this holiday season, as you Cleveland Browns fans have your football team in mind.
With the seventh pick in the 2010 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Joe Hayden, defensive back, Florida.
Man, it was super exciting. I mean, I knew what it was when I got off the plane. The people that are working in the airport, actually, I'm talking about security, I'm talking about just everybody, the people that hand out the tickets, people that take your bags. I mean, when I came off the plane, just everybody was just showing love and excited for me to be out here in Cleveland. It's just a real feeling. You know, I'm playing a game that I love and just getting recognized from the fans or the cheers when my name gets called, the crowd goes crazy. I mean, it's a dream come true. And it makes you want to go out there and play that much harder because you know that they love what you're doing and they appreciate what you're doing out there.
Oh my God, shut up! Oh my God, it's so weird.
When you go to Chicago, when you go to Miami, and you walking around just out in the city, just looking around, and you have people run up to you and are legitimately excited, like, you're my favorite player. I'm like, dude, there's no way. Like, I just think that sometimes that just knowing I'm somebody's favorite player is big, it's super big.
Back, a deep drop, pressure coming, going long down the middle of the field. This could be picked, and it is picked off! On a tip, the Browns have it! On the deflection, Joe Hayden's got his first of the year!
It's different than any other city. You know, they really love the Browns. You know what I'm saying? It's a blue-collar town, and they feel like they just want that from their players. They want that from their team. It's not like a big city where they have, like, you know, in New York, where you have a lot of other stuff going on. I mean, it's Cleveland Browns football is really what the city loves.
Takes the snap, looks left, throws left. It's caught, and Joe Hayden made a great play on A.J. Green.
If we were able to bring a championship here, it would be pandemonium. It'd be big, man. It'd be huge because they just, the city loves the Browns and they love winners. And then for us to bring that in here, it'd be special.
And it is intercepted! Joe Hayden's got it!
All right, that's going to do it for us. We're going to look for you next week as the Browns go on the road and tangle with, that guy Rex Ryan and his New York Jets. Now for our producer Andy Heck, for Vic Carucci, for my guy Gerard Cherry, I'm Michael Regei. Thanks as always for being a part of Browns Overtime, everybody. We'll see you next week from the greater New York City area. Until then, so long.
Hey, Browns fans, this is Joe Thomas, and I just wanted to say thank you for all your support this year. We really appreciate everything you do, and we appreciate when you guys get loud at our stadium.
Hey, Cleveland fans, just wanted to say thank you. This has been an amazing year for me coming here. You guys are the greatest fans in the world. We're building something strong, and we want you guys to know we're working hard every day to come out here and get wins, and we appreciate everything you guys give to us. The dog pound is the hardest place to play in football, and that's because of you guys, so we appreciate it.
Hello, Cleveland fans. It's Jason Campbell. I'd like to thank you for your support this season and coming out and cheering us on each and every week. We want you to know that you are well appreciated and how much we thank y'all for y'all's support. So keep going, and we'll keep fighting and appreciate everything you do. Thank you.
Hello, Browns fans. This is DeQuell Jackson. First and foremost, I want to thank all you guys for all your support throughout the year, and happy holidays.